Hello and welcome to the Possession Podcast, the official podcast for UK Seahawkers. Now this week we did things slightly differently. We recorded live on Thursday evening before the Rams game. So all the stuff you're about to hear is live, unedited pretty much. And all language you hear, we apologise for profusely because the bleep button doesn't work on live broadcasts. But enjoy. For everyone who joins us along the way, thank you very much. But this is Possession Podcast, prime time pre-game special, and it's live.
I don't know. That's just what pedestrian, average, mediocre receivers do. What's up? What's up? My man Deion Sanders, we all right, huh? We all right? Yeah, we all right. We gonna go to the Super Bowl again, being all right.
You're listening to the Pedestrian Podcast, the official UK podcast for the Seattle Seahawks. Here are your hosts, Ross Bell, Stuart Court, and Adam Nathan. Go Hawks!
This is the Pedestrian Podcast pre-game prime time special. We are live, so thank you for joining us. If you are so in the chat room, we will keep track of everything, all the comments and questions and queries of everyone who is joining us there. We have Roll In. Myself, Stuart Court, is joined by Mr. Adam Nathan and Mr. Ross Bell, as ever. How are we, guys?
Good, mate. Good. I'm not going to say my usual thing after a loss.
Yeah. Adam?
I'm good. I thought you were going to go Davina McCall on us there from Big Brother. Like, we are live. Please do not swear. Would have been great.
After Sunday, I'm not going to make that promise. We will tonight talk over the Sunday beatdown we suffered in Lambeau. Talk to some of our chapter regional heads from different corners of the UK and Ireland to help us review the past weekend and in the somewhat cold Tundra, as well as a preview tonight's Thursday night game versus the whited out Rams. On top of that, we will bring a few of the features along with True or False. And guys, Lock and Shock is on the cards tonight, so you won't be caught unawares this week. But first, some chapter and VMAT notes. Chapter wise, saw 30 or 40 guys and girls gathered this Sunday at Campus Bar in Glasgow. It was a very heavy and good night, with the only blemish being the game itself. As one Southerner put it, it didn't matter too much when watching with that lot and all our mates. Massive kudos and appreciation to the staff at Campus, Emanate Fireball UK for a help, and two of our chapter members and Scottish reps, Gordon Curry and Gordon Wrights. Congratulations to all. Elsewhere, we can properly announce that the Super Bowl night we'll see another live podcast come to your ears, as all three of us will hopefully be present and recording live from the Willoughby Arms in Kingston upon Thames in London. We will sort it so all that are there, the chapter AGM is also that night, can ask questions and bring something different to our podcast repertoire. Now for some notes from VMAT. Running back Troy Maine Pope suffered a severe ankle sprain on Sunday, and he, along with fullback Will Tukuafu, were placed on IR. Signed in their spots were running back Calvin Taylor, son of former Jacksonville running back Fred, and linebacker Ronald Powell. Taylor was a late-round pick for the 49ers this year after a pretty solid, if unspectacular, career at Florida, a 1,000-yard season in his final year as a Gator. The highlight, he showed some good cut moves on the limited clips available to him, though. Powell is another former Gator, a 6'3" outside backer, who is a fourth-round pick for the New Orleans Saints in 2014. He saw very little action for the Saints and has flitted around a few NFL practice squads. Elsewhere, it was likely all rather solemn at VMAC this week. Let's talk about why, and to help us do so, it's the first two-timer guest we've had on the podcast. It's Mr. Gordon Wright. How are we, Gordon?
I'm very well, thank you. Slightly honoured as well, I suppose.
Got no standards, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but as I mentioned above, it was a really, really top night on Sunday, wasn't it, apart from the game?
Yeah, it was excellent. I think it started off in a way of, we were trying very hard not to drink too much too early and failed miserably. So I remember turning to Sean at 6:30 and saying, oh God, I feel, you know, pretty rough, and it's still 3 hours till kickoff. So it was about then that I filled my boots with food and hoped that would kind of mop it up. But made it through. It was a great night, great fun. I don't know quite what the barman made of us trying to take snaps in the bar, especially with Nacho going long and appearing with mask at all, but yeah, it was good fun, very good fun indeed.
Yeah, in a way of apology, I'll give him two of Nacho's cakes at the end of the night, so hopefully that smoothed it over somewhat. But yeah, Packers 38, Seahawks 10, the heaviest defeat suffered by the Seahawks in over 5 years. It was a strange one, though, wasn't it, guys? Adam?
Yeah, I mean, it was just catfish, mate, to be honest.
But the box score is a really strange read. We got more yards, more first downs, more rushing yards, more. The only one that wasn't was the sacks and the turnovers.
You're having a laugh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's probably bound to happen in any game where you basically lose because of turnovers. I mean, they didn't do anything particularly special in any aspect of the ball apart from, you know, take the presents very well, like a kid trick-or-treating in a very rich neighbourhood, to be honest, because that's what it was like.
Yeah. Ross?
What? Six turnovers. Jesus Christ. Alex Collins showed up, didn't he? He played a part. It wasn't all on Wilson this week. Collins gave them the ball as well at one point.
I disagree on Wilson. We'll get into it in a sec. Gordon?
Oh, do you know, I thought the first drive was really well put together. We looked good. We moved it, you know, almost at ease. It seemed too good to be true, and sadly was. We just collapsed. Some of the throws from Wilson were you couldn't criticise them, but then there's a couple of others that I just thought, what do you see there? Who are you throwing it to? Because there was one with Graham especially where, you know, Graham was clearly in his tunnel vision. Mm. And then all of a sudden, you know, the DB appeared from nowhere and just snatched it. Yeah, and it was an incredible interception. But even so, six interceptions. It was just gutting. It's just as well that I was so drunk I cannot remember much of the game.
Well, when Alex Collins fumbled, there was a certain, as I said, the same southerner from earlier. He sat there and literally fell on the floor laughing. He goes, "That's all you can do, really, is laugh at this point," because it just was an absolute. It was one of those, as someone put, one of those WTF games. It just wasn't. But Russell Wilson, for me, deserves a lion's share of the blame for that on Sunday. He seemed to force it when the game started to get out of hand. The Jimmy Graham interception, the two overthrow to Jimmy Graham. It's absolutely beautiful play design by Darrell Bevell, who gets absolutely slated. Mm. But Jimmy Graham has half a Lambeau field to run into, and again, he overthrows. And then the Doug Baldwin interception, Pete Carroll said on Sunday or Monday that it was underthrown by 10 yards. I mean, that's not on Bevell or O-line protection. That's on the quarterback, who's having a poor to bad, very bad season. He's having a right way of it. And it seems to be, I think, Adam, you pointed out somewhere that he seems to be trying to make up for his struggles, and he's just forcing it far too much, isn't he, Adam?
Yeah, I think coming back from the injury, he sort of maybe almost feels a little bit too immortal, for want of a better expression, and wants to try and make up for lost time of games like in New Orleans and in Arizona, where he was just clearly a hobbled guy. Mm. And at this stage, he looks like, you know, he can see a throw, so he's trying to force it, as opposed to being the patient Wilson that's got him to being a potentially Hall of Fame quarterback over the past 4 years, where it's been methodical and take the chance when you get it, as opposed to trying to force the chance when you don't have it. I mean, this team can't win if we turn the ball over on a regular basis. It never has done. It can't do.
No, most definitely. It's also one of the main hallmarks of what Pete Carroll runs a program. It's all about the ball and everything. Ross?
Yeah, this is his worst game as a Seahawk. The underthrows and the overthrows were just terrible. Some of the, I mean, the interception off of Baldwin's face mask, that can't be put on Russ. That was a decent throw. Baldwin has to just catch that. The one off the Packers linebacker or the cornerback's shoulder that just popped up. And I mean, you probably can blame him for targeting Curse in the first place on that throw, but it was just a tragic day all round for Wilson.
Yeah, after that game, he is 21st in QB rating, 15th in completion percentage, 14th in yards a game, and 25th in touchdowns.
13 touchdowns, 10 turnovers.
It's a very Russell Wilson-like season. But the phrase, the worst game for Russell Wilson as a Seahawk, is all too common this year, isn't it, Gordon?
Sorry, say that again?
The all too common phrase that Wilson's worst game is a Seahawk this year, isn't it?
Oh, just absolutely. I mean, I can't remember a beating like that in recent times. Yeah, do we have to talk about it?
Well, moving on. The pass rush was another point of emphasis. Was that just Aaron Rodgers put us off balance, Adam, with all these snap counts, or that's something deeper?
I mean, as I said last week, that is the most boring thing in the whole world with his effing hard count. It's so annoying. I don't know what it was. I mean, normally when we rush four, you get home every now and again. Bennett doesn't look healthy just yet. Maybe tonight he'll have a bit more zip. But I barely heard Frank Clark's name. Mm-hmm. I think Reed got a couple of decent run stuffs early on. But yeah, we just couldn't get home. I mean, Bennett was saying that he was held on basically every play, which is either true or more likely sour grapes, which, you know, is what it is at a time like that. But I can't explain it, but I felt that we were probably a little bit basic and, you know, never thought to turn from a nickel and dime defense and maybe rush an extra guy, which we probably needed at some point.
Yeah, we seem to stay in the same gear all game with rushing the passer. Ross?
Yeah, no blitzes. Well, there probably was one or two, but nowhere near enough when you've got a hobbled quarterback. Bring Bobby, bring KJ, just get a little bit more pressure on him. They had an easy night, that offensive line. What, one sack from Rubin and I think three hits on the quarterback? That's not good enough.
Two of them was when Rodgers gave himself up as well.
Yeah.
But also on the defense, people are pointing to Earl somewhat stupidly in my estimation.
Yeah.
His absence wasn't a factor. Stephen Terrell was barely tested, was he, Ross?
No, he did what he needed to do. He did well. He closed on the ball. He had no chance on the, I think, one of the touchdowns, but apart from that, yeah, Earl wasn't the factor in this defense being torched, I don't think.
No. It is somewhat deeper. Is there a disconnect somewhere, Adam? Either Bevel Cable or Bevel Carroll or Bevel Carroll Cable? Or is it just one of those WTF nights?
I think it's pretty difficult with the amount or lack of exposure that we get to what goes on behind the scenes to say it's between coaching. And I don't know, I mean, Sherman says it might be the wake-up call they needed. This team, for some reason, often looks like it needs a game to snap them into life every season, but I would suggest that we probably have three or four of those already this year that you thought, okay, that should be the warning sign. We're either just not that good, or it was just a complete WTF, as you say. I mean, the argument is that Green Bay absolutely had to win that game without question, or they're done.
Yeah.
And as we said last week, we're basically in the playoffs anyway. And yeah, the bye week does matter. But right now, you know, keeping healthy for the dance might be more important than where we finish in it.
Yeah, most definitely. I think there's only two players that have been ruled out for tonight. I think Precise and another one. More. So that's at this stage of season, despite all the negativity the last 5-10 minutes we've had, that's a good positive, as you say. Gordon, disconnect somewhere, or did you just...
No, do you know, I used to always think, yeah, we always flatter to deceive at times, and we have a bad performance in us, which normally tends to be against the Rams, or, you know, there's an odd game that kind of shakes us. It was the Cardinals at home that, you know, stopped the run. But, I mean, we've scored on offense, we've scored 3, 5, 6 and 10 in four separate games now this season. That's just not good enough. And if we're trying to be consistent, you've got to win 3 minimum on the way to the Super Bowl in the playoffs, right? Yeah. Are we all confident that we are going to actually roll into the playoffs and score consistently enough more than the opposition when in four games this season we have not turned up? No. I don't want to be too pessimistic about it, and I am ever the optimist, but I just feel that, okay, Shannon talks about a wake-up call. You know, I think it was Adam or someone else in a kind of group chat had said, you know, I thought the Tampa Bay game was meant to be that. You know, it's now we're at the stage where enough is enough, guys. You know, just there's something just not right, and I can't quite put my finger on it.
Yeah, most definitely. I think that's where the thing I point to, there must be disconnect somewhere, but as Adam said, we don't have the intel to be able to know that for certain. Is there any other thoughts on the game and state of play currently, guys?
Tanner McElroy looked all right, didn't he?
Yeah, that will move on quite swiftly then. To that. one to praise, if we can, on offense. I guess you're going to go with McAvoy.
Yeah, three catches, 41 yards, longest of 21, and caught all of his targets and got a touchdown. one highlight of the day.
Yeah, I think that's probably the same for me. But I think Rawls looked quite good before the game started to get out of hand, as he has done for the last month, really. The run game looks as you hope it would. It was just the rest of the offense, which was the struggle part from the O-line.
Well, Rawls had two carries more than Michael and almost doubled his yardage.
Yeah, but he also they...
5.6 yards a carry, Rawls was hitting.
Yeah, it's just a weird, weird, weird game. Offense, one to praise, Adam, anyone? McAvoy?
I thought Jimmy Graham ran good routes and for better throws. He might have had a 100-yard game and two touchdowns.
Well, yeah. Was it one catch for 16, wasn't it? So
yeah.
Another fancy crapping off the bed. Gordon, anyone on offense or should we just move on?
Well, I was looking at 11-2 for McAvoy and the win tonight, and McAvoy scoring a touchdown and the win, and then McAvoy's first touchdown was 25. So, you know, that's worth a punt, surely.
That's not bad.
I think it most definitely is. So where do you guys stand on the he should eat into Curse's playing time?
He should.
Argument.
100%. All of it.
Yeah. Adam?
Yeah.
I was
just thinking, if you remember the hashtag, give soldiers footballers wages, I was thinking we could have give McAvoy Curse's targets as a hashtag.
six targets for 7 yards. Curse provided last Sunday.
Yeah, and an amazing feat of letting the ball go straight through his hands.
If he gets 99 targets, Ross, he might be able to drive the field for us.
Well, there's that stat which has come out. I saw it somewhere on Twitter earlier that it's completely Seahawks irrelevant. But if Bill Belichick goes 0-16 for the next 41 seasons, he will then have the same win percentage as Gus Bradley.
Definitely so not 41 seasons.
I think that's what it said.
I'm pretty sure it's 4 seasons.
Was it 4 seasons?
I don't think it was 41.
Pretty sure it was 41, wasn't it?
Bradley has been pretty bad.
That'd be 500 games.
Yeah, Bill Belichick could go 0-16 for 41 consecutive seasons and still have a better winning percentage than Gus Bradley.
Wow. How many games has he won? What, two a season for 4 years?
Yeah, he's got like, he's 14-57 or something, he is.
Wow.
But so, on all that, it could be worse, guys. One to praise on defense, Gordon.
I'm sorry, giving up 38. I wouldn't want to praise any of them, quite frankly.
No, Adam.
Well, Sherman didn't get beaten, and he managed to lay a lick on Devontae Adams, which was well deserved. So that was quite enjoyable to watch.
Yeah, since 2014, Rodgers has thrown 89 passes in games against Seahawks. 5 of those have been towards receivers covered by 25.
He doesn't target Sherman, does he?
No, not at all. Anyway, sorry, Adam interrupted.
Well, I'm just having a look if we've got one to slag off. we don't, but it's probably worth a little chat on Jeremy Lane and his lack of performances thus far this year, because he's been a real disappointment.
Yeah, I think he started off quite well and he saw a lot of time in nickel and slot, whatever you want to call it, but he seems to be targeted. And The touchdown with Devontae Adams, you can't really blame him for giving up the pass. You can give him for his weak-ass attempt at a tackle, because the pass rush didn't get home. But after the ball's in the hands of Adams, he's got to be better than that. He missed a few run tackles as well. He is on a bit of a struggle at the minute. Russ, Lane?
Well, Marcel Reese, Paul Richardson, Thomas Rawls, George Fant, Alex Collins all had as many solo tackles as Jeremy Lane did in this game.
How is that even... Well, I guess 7,000 to 8,000. But yeah, after
I'll tell
all
you
that...
one more thing that I noticed. Jordy Nelson scored 2 touchdowns, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
He was covered in those by KJ Wright and Cam Chancellor.
Yeah.
Now, again, I always say I don't really understand defensive scheming and I'm not, you know, never be a coordinator or whatever, but I don't understand how that's not your best cornerback on their best receiver by far.
One of them was especially... a slip, wasn't it? KJ slipped.
Yeah, and the other
one. Why is it KJ Wright in the first place?
Yeah, and one of them was the corner of the end zone where he calls his shot. He points to a point for Rodgers to throw to and takes the ball.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, Chancellor looked like a guy who's not used to covering a number one receiver in that instance, I have to say.
Yeah, most definitely. But yeah, after that, we are now looking for some help to get the number two seeds. It seems that we could get it if we handle our own business. The Lions nudged just out of the number two spot on Sunday, but they have Dallas, New York, and the Packers to play. So a one-game swing back in our favour. Would you'd expect to see plausible, which is all their focus will be stated as being on focus on the inside of the building, not the outside noise. Are you confident that number two seed's probably needed, isn't it, to give us the home game? And it's road record this year is like the bad old days kind of thing, isn't it, Gordon? So number two seed would be the best for business, wouldn't it, Gordon?
Well, put it this way, if we cannot win out the rest of the season, then we don't deserve to be at the party anyway, in my book.
I'd agree. Adam?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we're going to need it, because I can't see us putting four. Well, we're going to need to win three regardless. I can't see us winning seven games in a row to see out the season. So I think we might need that extra break and sort of make it a two set of three game season, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and also the underrated thing, it probably isn't maybe noticed by some, that bye week would give CJ Procise an extra week to get back, and it kind of shows that he might be a bigger part of this offense than we expected. So if you give him an extra week, I think they said they're going in 2 week incrementations to see how when he can come back. So if he gets an extra week, it could be something to unfurl until he gets injured again, obviously. So Gordon, before we let you get settled in for the late game, a quick true and false off of you, maybe?
Yeah, no worries.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go for it.
Right, are we winning the Super Bowl? or we win the Super Bowl, true or false?
Go on, I'll be the party pooper.
Go on.
False, in my opinion, at this stage. I mean, I was talking to a mate tonight and saying that, you know, we do have the potential to beat anyone on any day, but I'm just not convinced that there's enough in the team at the minute to put a run together that can do it. But as I have said to the guys on, you know, WhatsApp and whatever, the only thing that would surprise me outcome-wise for the rest of the season is us missing the playoffs. Anything else would not surprise me, because the team's capable of doing anything from one and done to winning the Super Bowl. It's crazy season.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. I think it's false. I don't think we will. I think there'll be a team that gets hot. We might have just played that team that gets hot, which always is the case in the AFC. But I think the AFC will be the place where the Super Bowl comes from this year. Ross?
Bear with me. And let me break this down for you. We went out. The Lions lose to the Packers week 17. We get the second seed. A game off. We get a home game against, I'm going to go with this and say, the Bucks. We beat the Bucks. Revenge game. Green Bay travels to Dallas. Knocks off the Cowboys. The Packers travel to CenturyLink Field. NFC Championship game. Revenge game. We beat the Packers. On to the Super Bowl. And we win. I'm with you, Gordon. True.
that's Ross Bowe drinking from the Gawler Wright positivity plan,
at which point Victoria's Secret models walk into the Willoughby Arms in Kingston and take two models per each one of us, and it'll be a great night, and it'll be brilliant.
Join me in the fantasy boys, come on.
Funnily enough, that's what happened at campus on Sunday night.
Yeah. Well, I think after whoever scored the Russian touchdown late on, I think in my drunken state, I think I may have turned to you, Gawler, and goes, remember that, because we're going to see it then.
And the funny thing is, I cannot remember a single thing.
No? I can't remember who it was, but I definitely turned to someone and said, yeah, remember that.
I have vague recollections of that.
Yeah.
I mean, my issue was I had to leave at the back of one because I had training the next morning, and although it was only kind of 200 yards from the hotel rather than 100 yards to campus, the only thing that would have hidden the tremors for me on Monday morning at my training would have been if the training had been on a pneumatic grill. So I was I was suffering pretty much all day.
I will say, at least you guys were drunk on Sunday night. I was hungover from Saturday on Sunday, so I guarantee it was a lot worse for me than it was you.
Yeah, I mean,
because I
can
remember Jeff Janis with a headache. You can't even remember that Jeff Janis was the guy that scored the touchdown. I had to remember with a headache.
A 19-yard rushing touchdown from a wide receiver.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what the double screens do work, so Darrell Bevell's been right. But yeah, massively appreciate you joining us, Gordon. Where can people get in touch if for 2017 Scottish Seahawkers business, if they want to?
On Twitter is the easiest, pretty much just at WrightGog, WRIGHTGOG. And either that or through the UK Seahawkers Facebook group. I'm on there quite a bit. So yeah, let's get the Scottish membership up. More paid members from Scotland, card-carrying members from Scotland. I think at last count there was only about 15. And I think 4 of those come from my family. So we need to up that a little bit. But yeah, no, really looking forward to some more meets, especially the national event, you know, next year, and hopefully get things escalating in a positive, you know, incline for each event as we go now. So thanks to all involved. It was a fantastic night, fueled by Fireball yet again. You know, High Spirits have done a great job in helping us out over the past couple of events, and, you know, long may that relationship continue. But yeah, it was good to see all you vagabonds, reprobates, and general 12s. So yeah, can't wait till the next one, and no doubt we'll have a few drunken communicados between now and then.
Yeah, most definitely. But yeah, enjoy the game if you can. Hopefully it's not another half 5-6-6 tie. I'll probably just jinx it now, but enjoy the game.
What'd you say that for?
I apologise.
my problem is it's my work night out tomorrow. We're starting at kind of lunchtime. I would normally have a nap between sort of 9 and 1:30. But tonight I'm staying up to speak to you lot and then power through. So I'll get kind of 3 hours sleep, and then it will be a fueled by Fireball tomorrow. afternoon, I would think so.
Yeah. Have a good weekend and enjoy the game.
Hello.
How are we, sir?
Hey guys, what's going on?
Not too bad. So moving on, we just got, as you can hear, we've welcomed another of our esteemed guests and chapter members and regional heads, Mr. Connor Tyrrell. How are we?
I'm not too bad.
I said your name right?
That you got it. You nailed it.
Spot on. So yeah, just for people who may not have seen your presence on the Facebook group and all the other platforms and stuff, just want to quickly run through why and how you became a Seahawks fan and all the rest of it.
Yeah, sure. So just kind of started watching the NFL. I kind of already sort of half followed it, not really any team in particular, you know, up till about sort of 11, 12 years ago. And then it started being shown on Sky more, and I just, you know, it would be on a Sunday evening, and I'd kind of stick it on while there was nothing else on TV. I don't know what happened, but we seemed to be the team that was on every week, the Seahawks. I don't know how that changed, but so I just kind of went, they seem pretty good. They all like their jerseys, they look okay. So just kind of stuck with them, and kind of been in for better or worse ever since.
Yeah, and also you also have a pretty cool story of your stadium tour from your last trip out into Seattle as well, obviously.
Yeah, the last time we went out to Seattle, we done a stadium tour, and I didn't get down on one knee, but I proposed in the stadium on the field. She said yes. It was my now fiance, so that was pretty exciting. That was a pretty cool moment. She's a bigger Seahawks fan than me. So it was probably a bigger deal for her than it was for me. But I was lucky enough to be able to get to do it, because the Panthers were trying to get onto the field. That was the game we were going to see at the time. they were trying to get on the field to practice, and I was like, can we get on now just for 2 seconds? I just need 2 seconds.
You could have played quarterback for them.
Might have cared.
I tried, yeah, but they wouldn't let it happen.
You probably would have done a better job.
Yeah, maybe.
But yes, what are your thoughts on the current plight of our Seahawks, and obviously most pressingly last weekend? Do you agree with what Adam, me, myself, Ross and Gordon said?
Yeah, just listening to you guys there, I mean, there's only so many times in a season you can say that's not what the Seahawks usually play like before it starts to become a reality, you know. Too many road games where, you know, 3-and-out punt is kind of just the general kind of offensive series we tend to have. We can beat anyone on any day, but it it's depressing when you're kind of watching them just throw into coverage and interception and fumble. It just seems like every week it's getting more and more like that than Seahawks of old.
Yeah, most definitely. I think other people will massive agreement with that. So we are going to call on to you to help us out for a while. Now, first, some true and false. True or false, sorry. Russ?
Yeah, I've got one. I know Adam's going to disagree, but Le'Veon Bell is the best running back in the NFL.
False. David Johnson.
Let me just hit you with one stat, really. Bell missed three games this season through suspension. He is 32 yards behind Johnson in rushing.
Yes,
but I mean, they're both also 400 yards behind Ezekiel Elliott, but that's beside the point.
It's the dual threat, though, that's the key with Johnson.
Is Bell not that as well, though?
No, but he's also, Bell's in a better team as well. Yeah, I think Johnson's asked probably to do way more than Le'Veon Bell is, obviously, with Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown and all the rest of it. So David Johnson's the best running back. If I had the number one pick in fantasy next year, which in one league I don't, David Johnson would be my boy, I think, next year. But yeah, Adam?
It's tricky because I think Bell is probably the most, maybe the most naturally gifted. But as you say, he's got a much better offensive line to work with, a much better quarterback to work with, and much better receivers this year as well. But, you know, I think you're probably splitting hairs between the three. Well, Bell and Johnson are more comparable than Elliott. It's just a banger, and I love watching him play as well. But I'd take either of them, to be honest. So I'll say false just because Johnson's my guy. But if anyone says true, I'm not going to disagree with them. And anyone that's listening, write down your true and false as well, or your answers as well, because it'd be good to see what you guys all think as well.
Yeah, great. Connor, true or false?
I think true. He's got a better supporting cast, but I still think those cuts that he makes are so fast. He's incredible out there. Even though he does have better players with him, he can make people miss, I think. It is close, but I think it's true.
Yeah, okay. Adam?
You can come on again.
Adam?
True or false, the colour rush is the worst idea anyone's ever had.
True.
False, Thursday night football is the worst idea anyone's ever had. It's just not, you can't, as Sherman obviously knows more than me.
Sherman's comments were great.
Yeah, but you can't ask people who play such a violent sport, who are so drilled in for such a short, in comparison to baseball, basketball, even MLS now in American sport, ice hockey, to such an enclosed, concentrated season the NFL is. You can't ask athletes who are like really tightly wound machines to play on a Sunday night and then play on 2.5, in some cases, 3 days rest. Thursday night football's the worst thing. Colour Rush, I don't mind Colour Rush. Some of them are pretty cool.
Now we've lost in the Wolf Grey, can we bring back throwbacks though, please?
Yes, I heartily agree with that. Connor, true or false?
False. The green jerseys are awesome and I wish you could wear them more.
Well, the green jerseys are pretty cool. The green end zones I could do without.
Yeah, I'm going to
make the whole field green.
I'm going to get the brightness light gun on my TV. I might be watching it in black and white.
Well, as I said somewhere earlier, I think we're going to get another Colour Rush game for how just all out the city has gone. I mean, the wheel's green, the stadium is green. Obviously, they're doing everything. All the cheerleaders are green. Sarah Palin is apparently on the sideline wearing green. So,
oh, brilliant.
If that's not enough
to make you turn off.
Exactly.
I might listen to Rabel tonight and just not watch it on TV.
But yeah. Connor, true or false?
Yeah, I did have a true or false. Someone kind of stole it on me there. But with one draw and one loss in the Wolf Grey jerseys, are they now cursed? True or false? Do we move to throwback jerseys?
No. I don't. I know. I think Adam is quite one of these. You're quite superstitious, aren't you, Adam? But nah, it's one of those things.
Yeah, I can't. They look like pajamas anyway. I can't stand the Wolf Grey jersey. I'd much rather the blue, the white, and then, as someone else is saying on the group, the throwback would be a brilliant third jersey to have. Mm. I'd can the Wolf Grey just because it looks like crap.
Ross?
Well, I'm sat here in my Cassius Marsh Wolf Grey jersey right now, but yeah, the white and the blue are much better, and the old school blue, that's lovely. Let's have that back.
For my true or false, the sacking of Jeff Fisher on Sunday night is the saddest and funniest thing to ever in the NFL.
Saddest from our own point of view from that we're playing on today.
Our selfish perspective, and also funniest from our selfish perspective. Rams Law Bingo has been retired after 2 weeks.
True.
Adam?
It is true. I mean, the funniest thing I've seen this season, when it made me rewind on Red Zone to make sure it actually happened, was the dildo being thrown on the field at Buffalo Bills against the New England Patriots. That might be the funniest thing I've ever seen, period. The Fisher thing is just hilarious.
Yeah, the fact that he was 3 days away from us, hopefully, giving him losingest
record ever.
Yeah, it was just such a shame. And now he's never going to beat that, because if anyone gives him an NFL head coaching job, they need to just hand over the keys to the team. Connor?
Yeah, true. Absolutely. That was hilarious.
Yeah. Also talking hilarious, also when he couldn't find his challenge flag in the ring. That was a particular highlight.
Even Scott Hansen took the piss out of him on Red Zone.
Yeah.
Not that pocket.
It's like there are some Wenger, any of coaches, but Arsene Wenger wins the games occasionally, Adam. Now for the preview of tonight's game. The Rams limp into town with some very slick headwear, but this should be a decent chance for a bounce back, shouldn't it, Connor?
I hope so, yeah. I mean, they're struggling, you know. Everything about the Rams organization is just so terrible, you know. The middle school offense they were referred to during the week. Gurley said they were, you know, it was as bad as playing on a middle school team. You know, when your star player says that about your own offense, you know you're going to be struggling. Yeah. The only thing I am worried about is that guy took over from Fisher's, their special teams coordinator, who always seems to have something in the bag for us.
Yeah,
he always has something that scores a touchdown against us.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Johnny Hecker does the Derek Anderson tonight and takes the first snap from under center with the special teams coach. I mean, he's throwing some shade at all Seahawks fans as well on Twitter.
Yeah,
people are fighting back with all the Avril stuff. Bounce back, though, Ross.
It has to be. It just simply has to be. We've lost the last three to the Rams. We cannot make it four. This has to be a dominating win. We're at home. This is our house. After last week, we cannot lose like that again.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It's a perfect, almost perfect team to face. Mm. They've lost, eight of their last nine or something like that? Yeah, they were 3-1, they're now 4-9, and they've given up 68 points in the last two games.
Bench Coach Keenum on the back of their last win.
Yeah, they had to do it eventually. Why?
Just wait until you lose another one.
Why not do it there? Adam, bounce back?
I think it's going to be a bounce back beat down.
Oh, I think Adam just nailed the.
Oh, he's gone for the podcast title again.
He must write notes every week and just sit there.
Oh, yeah, I've done it again. Get in.
But yeah, I heartily agree. I'm not. I had a sneak peek at Adam's score prediction, but I'm not as confident as he is on the measure of the beatdown, but I think it is bounce back. As I say, the perfect team. Goff is just not ready. The offense is struggling. Gurley just looks severely pissed off and fed up of everything. The O-line, despite investment in the O-line doesn't always work. The LA Rams are the prime example of that, because they've just, they've got the number two pick at one position. They've got a second, 2 seconds and a third at other positions, and it's bad. It really is very bad. I mean, I think Gurley's the most often hit running back in the backfield in the league this year. That was definitely a stat a few weeks ago anyway.
He's rushed 770 yards for 3.3 yards as a carry. That's terrible.
It's terrible. For a player who looked like a generational player, and he's been completely overshadowed by David Johnson and this year, obviously Zeke as well. But defensively, they've got some decent-looking players. Jermaine Johnson's quite a nice cornerback. Robert Quinn is a good player, but he's been put on IR. The main threat is number 99, Aaron Donald. Him going up against the Freddie Britt is going to be massive tonight, isn't it, Adam? With Quinn, especially.
You've got to follow the Atlanta blueprint, who basically took the line of scrimmage out of the game. Everything was quick outs, short passes, and just don't let the guy be a factor. You know, forget the seven step drops in a game like tonight, unless you can really double team Donald out of the game, just make it easy for yourself and just make it a 6v6 game on the outside.
Yeah, I most always certainly agree. Also, as we go to later, there's certain wide receiver needs to get involved, as he did a few weeks ago. Connor, Donald Ifedi, big time.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, like that, just as much as I hate to say it, screens, quick passes, whatever you can, just get the ball out of there. Don't let Russell stand there getting hit. You just can't anymore.
Yeah. Moving on, the quarterback. There's obviously plunged a lot of draft picks. They don't have a first round pick in the 2017 draft because of Jared Goff. He has quite an arm. He didn't face a lot. I think Adam, you had a stat a few weeks ago where he didn't do very well when he faced ranked teams or semi-professional, semi-good teams in college. Was he worth all the draft stock they give up and all the hassle, Adam?
I don't think so. I don't think he's got a good enough arm. I don't think he reads the game well enough pre-snap, which is so important in the NFL. But what I will say is that him and Gurley will probably be the happiest men in Los Angeles for the change of coaching this week, because it gives them a chance to build a career which otherwise would have gone completely nowhere. I mean, you forget Gurley came into the league this year and would have gone in the top three in the majority of fantasy football leagues.
Yeah.
And right now, if you did a redraft, he'd probably be a third round pick. He's a guy that is so talented, I think, and has a chance now to rebuild his career. And maybe the same is true with Goff. I just don't think he's that great a player.
No, I'm happy to give him time because he did look, he has one hell of a shotgun on him as well. But his early work is not good. His game last week against the Falcons was worrying. Obviously, they just pinned their ears back after a certain point. Connor, what do you think of Goff?
Yeah, not been too impressed with him so far. I think we're going to have a field day with him today. He's going to be thrown against some of the best defence in the league. I think we can take care of him. But yeah, it would be nice to see him have a decent career in the league. He was a top pick, but I can't see him doing much tonight.
No, it's a really big time hire that they're going to have to make this summer. They'll clearly have to get an offensive minded coach who's good with quarterbacks in to just bring him along a bit slower than...
It's going to be Gruden, isn't it?
Something. I would not be surprised, but the guy I think is on the staff on the other sideline tonight for the Seahawks.
Bevel.
I think Bevel will be the guy who could be quite a good, nice pick for those, because he's done... let's be honest, he did well to bring Russell along in his rookie year and moving onwards, and he gets a lot of stick, and it'll be a case for some, you don't know what you've got until it's gone, because the other option is Mr. Cable, and he's 1950s offense at times with all the run plays. But yeah, Ross Goff.
I think he obviously has the ability to be a good quarterback in this league, but yeah, he's been thrown in at the deep end, and their offensive line is just as good as ours, which is not great. So yeah, he's kind of a little bit too early for me to judge him, but I think he's not done great so far. Hopefully he doesn't start doing great tonight either.
No, but everything else is pretty sparse, isn't it? For the Rams, there's not much. I mean, Kenny Britt's having a bit of a renaissance this year. Adam?
Yeah, he looks like a Pro Bowl receiver this year, which is strange. But it just depends if he was more Keenum's guy or Goff's guy. I mean, they're undoubtedly a worse team with Jared Goff in the backfield, regardless of the fact that they have to give him some snaps. But Britt has been decent. And obviously this is the day that Tavon Austin has a massive game, as per circle always.
Yeah, Austin and Hecker, the two guarantees in the Seahawks run game. For Seattle, obviously, as we said, just be better, as I put it weeks ago, don't be catfish. A sharper Russ is needed, isn't it, Ross?
Yeah, most definitely. We cannot have another performance like last week. And I think Adam hit the nail on the head. Two-step drops, get it out quick, and we've got the players to beat their secondary easy. Lockett can just burn these guys tonight.
Yeah, that's also the other guy I think would have to get more involved. Connor, sharper, Mr. Wilson?
Yeah, just be better. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Adam?
Yeah.
Agreed. I mean, just quickly, so we might be able to discuss it quickly, the inactives this week are Procise, Taylor, Powell, Brock Coyle, Ronald Powell, John Jenkins, and DeMontre Moore. So that basically gives us Collins, Rawls and Reese as basically the only running options. So you might suggest that we're going to see a bit more of the receivers stepping up, or that Thomas Rawls is going to have to carry a heck of a load on the team tonight, because you're not going to give the ball to Collins or Reese too often.
No, you wouldn't. Well, you wouldn't really want to. Possibly,
maybe Tupou Afu can come and be come off IR or whatever.
But I think Lockett on Paul Richardson will be someone to watch as well. But that is, Jaron Johnson is active again. He didn't see any defensive snaps, any special teams. So with Tyvis Powell, maybe he will slot in somewhat with another week back in the building. On the defense we're going against, they aren't too bad, are they? Obviously, as we quickly touched on earlier, they don't give up many big yards. It's just the offense doesn't do enough, does it, to keep off the field on them.
The Rams' defense,
yeah,
is horrendous.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know,
aside two players, yeah,
they've been kryptonite against us recently. But you know, they've given up 40 in two of the last 3 weeks, I think, against New Orleans and Atlanta. Is that not right?
Yeah, it is.
Obviously, a couple of pick sixes in there, but you know, that they're not without Quinn. They've obviously got a lot of good. They've got good players there, but I'm not sure as a unit they look that, you know, checked into the season anymore. I think they might have been mailing it in.
Yeah, that's fair. Pass rush for the Seahawks, though, obviously we said we didn't do anything really of note last few weeks, really. The Rams O-line, though, as I said, is porous. There'll be holes opening up the size of the map of Australia at times, but they're not protecting their draft pick heavy investment, Ross.
Yes, well, there should be. We need to see more Frank Clark this week. He looked out this world. The games he filled in for Bennett, he looked brilliant. Since Bennett's come back, I'm not obviously putting any blame at his feet. He's been trying and it's not getting home, but mix it up. Move Bennett inside occasionally, put Frank Clark on the outside, or swap them around. Just confuse Goff. Confuse him all night long, because did you see what Sherman said this week? They're not even planning on Goff going past one read.
No, he's not going to do that. It's going to be one, two at most.
Yeah.
Pass rush, Connor?
Yeah, it needs to get home. It needs to get home today. It was so frustrating watching him against Green Bay. Just him dancing around back there was so frustrating. Just get to him, sack him, let's hurt him tonight. I don't mean that in a bad way, but let's hurt him.
Like Sean says in the chat, blitz. We have to blitz him tonight.
What, the mascot?
He'll do.
Adam?
Yeah, just get at them. Just, I really love watching this one. It's a primetime game. The crowd are whipped up. It's under the lights and people are just going hell for leather at the quarterback. And I often think that's where we have our most success. I thought last year at home, the most thrilling bits on the whole defense were 10 minutes against Arizona when we took the lead with a couple of turnovers. It was brilliant. And against Pittsburgh when we blitzed Ben, that was also great. And so I hope they go back to that tonight.
Yeah, they're, according to Pro Football Reference, they're the 29th ranked offense in the NFL. But yeah, moving on quickly, I'll want to watch for on offense, Ross.
I want to see a really good passing game, but Thomas Rawls, 12 carries last week, and fair enough, they benched him because the game got out of hand and he's not all the way back just yet, but he got 67 on 12 last week. Let's get over 100 and a couple of touchdowns tonight.
Yeah, if he gets over 100, we've probably had a good night because the game hasn't got out of hand.
Yeah.
But they also were quite niggly, and have they still got Greg Williams? And it's always a bit hairy when he's calling headshots at times. Want to watch on offense, Connor?
Russell Wilson. I think he's a guy that kind of, he always seems to be so positive, and let's see how he bounces back from what was a horrible performance on Sunday.
Yeah, Adam?
Let's go with Doug Baldwin. I think he's the pace setter of the team, and get him involved a couple of times in the first drive with a couple of quick outs, a couple of curl routes, and get him in the game. And that always seems to destabilise the defence that we're playing against. We'll march down that field, hopefully. What I will say about Rawls is that sort of touch pass that was the fifth pick on Sunday, almost like a short wheel route almost. Rawls actually runs that pretty well and has decent hands for a running back. He's a decent pass catcher, so we might be able to free him up on the outside a couple of times, which would be great.
And also Reece showed something like that as well. There's a 30-yard completion with a really nice toe tap as well for a fullback, showing his wide receiver background. For me on offense, I think I'm going to go with the guy I mentioned earlier. I think if Efedi can kind of quieten down Britt as well, obviously next to him, can quieten down as best you can someone with the burst off the line that Aaron Donald has, then the running game will hopefully, and Russell Wilson will be upright more than he is on the floor, as he seems to be in recent weeks. One to watch on defense, Adam?
Bobby Wagner to bounce back with a big game.
Yep, I'd agree, although he still managed to lead the team in tackles last week. But 12 more last week. Yeah, it was a really, again, back on the box score. Our leading tacklers were people you'd expect, KJ, Cam, Bobby. But the Packers' leading tackle was their safety, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. The second one was their cornerback in Randall. The third one was the other cornerback. It's really, really strange how ineffective their D-line were in the box score, but they caused so much havoc. Just a weird, weird game. Defense, Connor?
Sherman, and that's not just because I have his color rush jersey.
For me, I think we mentioned him earlier, I think Jeremy Lane, you just want to see one more from him. He's possibly going to be matched up on Tavon Austin, which is slightly scary with how he dealt with Devante Adams last week. But you just need to see better from him. He's an investment, as we said, I think maybe last week or the week before on the podcast. The off-season signs we made are not looking the strongest with the investments we made in Lane and Kurtz, and then obviously Jamarcus Webb, who possibly wasn't a real person. But I think Jeremy Lane, especially with what we're going to get come in the next month or so, we need to start seeing something from him. And keeping Tavon Austin quiet in his Super Bowl will be a perfect place to start. Confident, guys? Connor?
Yeah, I think so. I think 4 touchdowns. I think we're going to do it. We're going to, I'm going to beat them.
Yeah, Adam? I know you are.
Very confident. I've got 47 to the Seahawks. I know that's unlikely to have the same score, 2 blowout home games in a row, but I've just got a real fancy for a 40 burger tonight.
Yeah. Ross, confident?
Yeah, I'm always confident. Wrongly quite a lot of time, but we're going to flip the score from last week, 38-10. Seahawks win.
I like that. Connor, what's your score position quickly?
31-10.
Yeah, I'm really confident. I don't think I'll be quite surprised if they do much damage to the score, but I've gone for, well, it was a 23-6, but talking to Adam earlier today, his Al Pacino-like confidence and inspirational speech, which was very short this week, got through. I think it's going to be 36 to the Seahawks. Thank you so much, Connor, for joining us. Hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Well, we'll have to get you back on in the future. Where can people get in touch on all the different platforms and find out all about the 2017 plans over in Ireland?
Yeah, so I'm very active on Facebook, Connor Seahawks Tyrrell, or the Irish Seahawks fans on Facebook. And then on Twitter, it's @Irish_Seahawks.
Yeah, so get involved with all that. And who else is it over in Ireland? Who does the regions with you?
We've got Richard Jones, just kind of the Belfast area, Northern Ireland area.
Yeah, well, mate, if either are closer to you, then you can get both of them. It's, as Gordon hinted at, 2017 could be quite a cool year for the chapter. But yeah, once again, thank you a lot for joining us, and hope you keep listening.
Yeah, thanks very much, guys.
Cheers, mate.
Right, quickly cover other NFL things. Adam, I'm not going to shock you with it this week. What's your lock and shock for the week?
I've forgotten what this really is. You're going to have to go first so I can remember what it is. So I can
What's your lock of the week? So the game that's a nailed-on win, and what's your possible shock? Last week we had the Giants and the Titans winning, and they both did.
Of course. So actually, I don't even know what the schedule is this week. So go on, you can go first.
Okay. My lock of the week is the Falcons to beat the 49ers. That offense has got way too much for that defense. If you've got Devontae Freeman or Tevin Coleman in your fantasy team and you're in a playoff, well done, you're probably in the next phase final, or if you've won your league, if you're that deep into a fantasy season. Yeah, the Falcons are going to do what they did to the Rams, to the Niners. Well, even though Kaepernick is playing quite well and Carlos Hyde really did shine bright for that team last Sunday. Ross?
My lock is, I'm going to go for... I'm sorry, Dave, you'll listen to this, but the Chiefs to beat the Titans. The Chiefs look just unbeatable at home, and the Chiefs are at home. Tyreek Hill, breakout,
Yeah, on my pick, and that's the one I haven't yet selected. I need to...
Lock it up, Stu. You've heard it.
Adam?
Well, I mean, my lock is obviously going to be Buffalo at home to Cleveland.
We can do that.
If I'm allowed to do that. Otherwise, I'll go with Baltimore at home to Philadelphia.
Nice.
Yeah, that team looks broken, doesn't it, the Eagles? There's a little bit of whisper that Pederson might be in a bit of trouble because that team is completely void of talent, according to an Eagles fan I was talking to at the weekend. Shock of the week, Adam?
God, there's rubbish games. Shock of the week. I'm not sure it really counts as a shock, but let's go the Jets to nick it home against the Dolphins and Matt Moore.
Yeah, that's a Saturday night game as well this week. So, Ross?
The shock of the week is happening in Big D. The Bucks are going to go there and blow the Cowboys out. Mike Evans is going to tear them apart in the secondary.
Oh, that's blow them out. That's quite a... I mean, some people think that the Seahawks fans are quite sensitive and quite fragile and stuff, but the reaction to that loss from Dallas on Sunday is hilarious.
Apocalyptic.
They're one loss away from going back to Romo. What? They've got the number one seed pretty much wrapped up? Absolutely just...
They've got a really bad defense, though. I think Mike Evans is just going to kill them.
I hope so, because I need him, because I lost Melvin Gordon in fantasy this week. Oh, so. Yeah. My shock of the week, I'm not too sure if it counts as a shock. I think the Panthers are going to roll into the DC and roll over the Redskins. I think Cam Newton will stop sulking, wear the correct attire pre-game.
What is the correct attire for Cam, though?
Oh, no idea. Probably, no idea. He probably dressed up as Rudolph. No idea. But yeah, we had a good weekend. As I said last week, sort of called the Giants Titans. The Browns are just still a lot of sadness. Any members' questions? So if you're in the chat room on the Mixer, wherever it is, fire some questions in. But before we get to those, Dave Bailey wants to know, is Earl Thomas a possible player that we look to replace in a certain degree in the draft this year? Adam?
Well, I'm certainly not going to replace him because he's one of, if not our best player. But if Buda Baker is sitting there towards the end of the first round or even in the second round, it'd be very hard to say no to him because that is a guy who could be a future Earl Thomas because he's just a great, great player.
Yeah. So is Buda Baker going to be your Miles Jack this year then, yeah?
Little bit. Could well be.
Ross, not obviously naming any players, but do you think this a position of player that we look to cover somewhat?
I think it could be. On the Seahawks podcast this week, Adam, their bizarro Adam, said that Earl Thomas could be about to enter a Bob Sanders phase of his career where he's been at an elite level for this amount of time and the injuries just suddenly hit and you fall off. So maybe we could draft a backup for him and hopefully they're as good as Earl. I doubt it, but you never know.
Yeah, I don't think, as Adam said, we're not going to replace Earl Thomas in the draft. I do think we'll draft a safety because they don't seem to fancy quite yet, if at all, Tyvis Powell to do enough. Jaron Johnson probably isn't going to be here come the end of the season. And Carson McRae, I think he's unrestricted free agent as well, and they're possibly not going to keep him if all the special teams help they traded for on the cut down at 53. So I think we will draft a safety, but it's going to be mid to late round. And you're not going to get an Earl Thomas in the fourth or fifth round. You get an Earl Thomas in the top 10, obviously, hopefully, unless something drastically happens with a trade. That's not going to happen. So I think we will draft a safety. It won't be that early, though. Are there any questions on the thing? Serious question. John Maxfield, what do we need to do on average to win our fifth straight defensive scoring title?
I'm just looking at it now.
We've got the teams we're playing. There's no reason we can't put up at least two shutouts.
I'm not so sure about shutouts, but I think single figure defensive games are. It's quite hard to stop a team getting to the 40-yard line in the NFL.
Right, yeah.
They're gonna get probably field goals as well. I mean, is it home away, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's gonna be quite hard. I mean, Kaepernick and Hyde are moving the ball relatively well for a team who's lost the last 11 games or whatever it is. But
I think it may just be out of reach now. For some reason, the Ravens' defense seems to be doing so well. I don't understand that one.
The Ravens' defense is good. That Zach Orr is a really, really good looking player.
Just to give you the actual stats here, Minnesota are leading on 225 points. Then it's New England on 230, and then it's us on 232. So you're only a touchdown behind Minnesota.
Okay. Yeah, I'm more confident we could catch Minnesota, but the Patriots, who the Patriots got to finish, they've got the Broncos offense, which is doing absolutely nothing. Then they've got the Jets offense, which is doing absolutely nothing. And in week 17, they have the Dolphins offense. So the
Patriots, Matt Moore.
It's a long shot, but
yeah, we'll catch the Vikings. They've got the Colts and the Packers still to play.
Yeah, that. Since Mike Zimmer threw half the team under the bus, that team has gone off the pace. Sam Bradford has reverted to type, and the defense is, while the pass rush is still there, defense is struggling to get off the field, I think. But I don't think we will get the scoring title. Definitely won't get the DVOA title after last Sunday. We've covered this heartily on the podcast before. Thomas Gilliam asked, is curse worth the money and could it have been better spent somewhere else on the team? Yes. Adam Ross?
Agreed.
Yeah. Adam?
Infinity, yes. But his cap hit next year is only about $360,000. You only save about $368,000 by cutting him this summer as opposed to $5 million the summer afterwards. So I really wouldn't expect to see any change in his roster status unless he completely bombs the next three games.
Yeah, I'd definitely agree. As we said, I think probably last week, he's quite a big part of the locker room. I mean, there's a pretty cool video last week for the game with all the Army stuff where they honoured him in quotation marks with all this work he does and stuff. His place in the locker room is a lot higher than the standing amongst most fans, but yeah, he's not going anywhere, even though we shouldn't have given him the money we did.
Let's say we get one more good receiver in and Curse drops down to five or six, sixth receiver. You're really not going to complain about that too much. It's just the second and third receiver. It becomes frustrating.
Yeah, exactly. But also on Thomas's point, better spent somewhere else on the team. Even though the cap hit's gone up, what was it, $12 million? The cap's going up this spring. You give the money to Bennett. You give the money to a better free agent lineman than Jamarcus Webb and Bradley. So I mean,
give some of
Donald
it to Cam,
Penn,
give some of it to Justin Britt.
Justin Britt. Well, Justin Britt is another thing. But Donald Penn was out there for a few days. He's absolutely mauling it at the left tackle spot for the Raiders. So. Yeah,
for those fans that are interested in how the cap works or whatever, was reading a few guys yesterday, and what with the number that the cap is going up to, it looks as if you can renew, well, you can give Bennett more money, Chancellor new money, Justin Britt a contract, and sign one big free agent and still have enough on the cap. So that is positive for next year.
Yeah, most definitely. So if they do go big splash free agent, what position would you expect them to go for? O-line, or is that all draft, Adam?
Well, Davis Assue, who is very good at this sort of stuff, makes a good point that maybe a sneaky little swoop for Calais Campbell could be a good one.
Ooh. Yeah, I saw that. And also, I think Jared Stanger was pledging his allegiance to Kawan Short, who is at the Panthers and has had a very meh year. And he might be on a sort of Cliff Avril type deal, not a prove it deal, but a somewhat prove it deal after a down year. And he still has, I think, four sacks from the interior of that Panthers D line, and we don't have anyone close to that from Rubin, Reed, Daniel, or even Bennett. I don't think Bennett has five sacks yet. So interior defensive line would be an interesting spot. I think that's probably the most likely one as well.
Your offensive line has always been more of a lottery, and so it's like, do you want to sink that much money into a lottery position or sink that much money into a proven guy that could be a real game breaker? And I'd probably go with the game breaker, to be honest.
Yeah, look how much J.R. Sweezy's getting paid to not play this season.
Yeah, but is he on AR? Because he's on pot money, yeah. But also, there is one guy on the O-line talk of the lottery. Menelik Watson is often niggled by injuries, but he's a Raiders free agent, and that O-line looks set, so he could be a guy who could be on a Jamarcus Webb-type deal, and he is a better player than Jamarcus Webb. And also, coverage of NFL UK might improve since he's from Manchester or something, but we can live in hope. Any other questions? Sean Wilson asked, is Pete Carroll okay without his usual Nike whites? As if anyone's missed it, he has had specially made neon green. I'm guessing they're the same trainers, just neon green Always Compete on the lip.
I'm worried.
I guess we'll soon find out. I guess if we lose tonight, the neon green Nike trainers will be on the same trash pile as the Wolf Grey, I guess. where can people get involved if they want to in future regular programming, Ross?
You can get us on Twitter at Seahawkers UK. You can obviously get the podcast from thepedestrianpodcast.podbean.com. If you do get it from there, you want to leave us a little donation to help the podcast continue, because we have to obviously pay for hosting and live feeds and live streams and all this sort of stuff. There's a donate button there. Any donations are greatly received. If you get some iTunes, in fact, go and leave us a 5-star rate and review, because the more of those you do, the more coverage iTunes gives us, basically. If we get enough reviews, we'll get stuck on the front page, and that'll open us up to a whole world of Seahawks fans. So, yeah, just rate and review us, and follow us and like us and everything you can everywhere you see us.
Yeah, it really does help. It really is greatly appreciated when all those view numbers, figures come in, as was sent to me and Adam a few days ago. One quick note, drafting Seahawks a few weeks ago, we had Cortland Sutton, who I really wanted us to draft. It now appears he's staying in school, which is slightly annoying, because he's probably, if he stays healthy, going to be way out of our reach in 2018. And also, a guy I really was looking at for next week's drafting Seahawks, Georgia running back Nick Chubb, is staying in school for another year for his senior season.
Really?
Which is, apparently quite strange after he had an awful, awful looking knee injury 15, 18 months ago. But apparently he's staying in school for another year with the Washington local quarterback Jacob Eason, I think the quarterback is at Georgia, so that's slightly frustrating. But yeah, wherever in the world you are, enjoy the game. To Ian Hazelden, out of the game, the big man, enjoy the game. Everyone's slogging on into the early hours over this side of the pond, enjoy it too. Massive thanks to anyone who's joined us on the chat or just listened in live. It is all greatly appreciated. Until next week, and until next time, this has been the Pedestrian Podcast, and
go Hawks!
Home, your Seahawks Super Bowl 48 champions.